The following is a 1500 ESPN Twin Cities production.
Raised on basketball. Raised in front of a computer screen. Raised for covering the game. Raised by Wolves. Now, talking all things Timberwolves with beat writer Derek James, here's Benny Hill with the Raised by Wolves podcast.
Durant for three. It's good. Kevin Durant from downtown. And Golden State takes the lead.
Well, so much for that, right, Derek?
Man, I was so excited watching that game. Like, oh, sweet, we're going to have a series. My dejection was starting to fade. And then Durant pulls up for that three, and it's like, oh, yeah, we don't get to have a fun finals.
And was there any doubt that it was going to go in? I mean, you just knew as soon as it left his hands, like, yep, that's going in, and this is going to be 3-0.
I mean, it was such a close game leading up to that. And then the last 3 minutes, I mean, the Cavs didn't score. And they made every dumb mistake that they could have. Yeah. And I don't know. It's just the perfect way to sum up what's been a very disappointing finals and playoffs.
Yeah, it has. And I mean, the game three was terrific. Really, from start to finish, it was terrific. It was tough to see the Cavs sort of just implode, meltdown, whatever you want to call it, the last couple minutes. But I mean, really up to that point, it was great theater. It was fantastic.
I mean, LeBron came out 27 points in the first half.
Yeah.
Kyrie finally got going. Like, this is what we had wanted to see. Well, I mean, LeBron hadn't been struggling. Kyrie had, but just to see, you know, the greatest player on planet Earth rise to the moment to try to lift his team to victory against the odds
and make it a series.
Nothing.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, Kevin Durant, man, I guess say what you want about him going to Golden State and calling it what you want. I mean, because I didn't like it. I respected it and I understood why he did it, but the NBA fan in me didn't like it because I wanted, as I said last year, I wanted to see him and Russell Westbrook give it one more shot against Golden State, you know, to see, because they were so close being up 3-1 and having a chance to clinch at home when they were up 3-2. But, I mean, that shot was, it was amazing. I mean, and it just kind of, you see him play on this level right now, and obviously playing with Steph and playing with Klay and Draymond being there too. I mean, it makes things, it takes a lot of pressure off of Kevin Durant to where he can get to wherever he wants. And it's helped him defensively too. But it's just like, man, gosh,
you think being a Golden State makes his job easier? I wonder why. Never see a single double team.
Right. That's the conundrum that the Cavs are in right now, because they can't, you can't double team anybody because you're leaving somebody open. You can't take LeBron out for an extended period of time at all. I mean, he sat for the last 30 seconds of the first half, and the Cavs just completely melted down at the end of the first half. It's like, what's going on? You guys, come on. You know, get it together.
You know, I imagine it just like a cartoon in a boat where the boat sprung several leaks. So there are four leaks in the Cavs' boat.
Yeah.
That happen to be Klay, Draymond, Kevin Durant, and Curry. But they only have three plugs at most. And there's just no way to account for all of them. Because if you double, you're leaving one of those guys open, and that's a bad idea. There's just, and you know, people are like, well, we should be talking about, you know, what adjustments the Cavs could be making. It's like what?
Right. There's nothing that you can't. They played about as well as they possibly could against this team in game three.
Mm-hmm. And they just have so many shooters, too. You dare them to pull up. You know, if you come under the screen, they will. You go over, they're going to make you pay for that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you help over and you trap them, they're just going to kick it out to the open guy. Like, they're, I don't know. It's impressive how great they are. It's just incredibly annoying that there is no one to challenge them.
Yeah, there's nothing you do. I did get a kick out of, you know, Durant hitting all these shots, and Steph is draining threes from all over the place, and Klay had a quiet, I don't know, what did he end up with, 30-something? I just remember he hit a three to give him 30. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's like the quietest 30 points ever.
It kills me that people, I hear people say, like, on Twitter. I mean, it's not people that I follow, but it's the stupidity that gets retweeted on your timeline. You're like, who are these idiots that my followers find?
Yeah.
And who say Clay is not a star.
Oh, he's a star.
He is very much a star.
I'll take him.
He's probably the second greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah, only to his teammate. Yeah, I will. I'll take Klay Thompson. I'll take a 3-point shooter who's in his mid to late 20s and good defender. And yeah, I'll take him if people on Twitter don't think he's a star. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Can we play hot take, cold take, or lukewarm take real quick?
Sure.
All right, so I was interacting with someone on Twitter yesterday, and at Paul Mitchell NBA. Been saying it for years, but KD is the most complete scorer this game has ever seen. Handles and jumpers separated from MJ, Doc, Kobe, Ice.
Wait, what? Say that one more time.
Been saying it for years, but KD is the most complete scorer this game has ever seen. Handles and jumper separated from MJ, Doc, Kobe, and Ice. As an Iceman.
George Gervin. George Gervin, yeah.
Yep. I was like, that's lukewarm at best.
Yeah.
That's not even hot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, he's almost 7 feet tall, if not 7 feet tall, has about a 10-foot release point, has fantastic, can hit from anywhere on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not fair.
It's not. And the fact that he can run the floor as well as he does, and the improvements he's made to his game defensively, too, and obviously playing in Golden State, I think, has really had a lot to do with that, just because they're so good defensively. They play such great team defense. So he's been able to fit right. It's almost like, and it sounds unfair, but it's almost like him being there is a perfect fit. Like he's exactly mm-hmm. he fits in so well with those other guys, those other three stars. And it's like, what the hell can you do, man?
I think ESPN was saying on the pregame, even temperamentally, he fits in well there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are all... I think Kevin Durant is a proud guy. He doesn't like to take a lot of crap. And this Warriors team is very much that same way. They're a very proud team. I mean, it comes off as arrogant, I think, a lot of times. But that's what happens when, you've lost 20 games in the last 2 years in the regular season.
Yeah. What do you think of... Where did I see it? Somebody tweeted it out. About supposedly Draymond Green, like after game 7, was in the parking lot and he was like on the phone after they lost game 7 to the Cavs
last year.
Yeah, last year. He was on the phone. I don't know if he called either Kevin Durant or he called, what's the Warriors GM's name? Bob Myers, right. He called Bob Myers or talked to him or something and said, yeah, we need to get Kevin Durant, like, right away type of thing.
Isn't that the best compliment anyone could pay LeBron James? We need to stack two of the greatest shooters of all time.
Right.
The league's most versatile power forward and add Kevin Durant to that mix.
Mm-hmm.
In order to comfortably distance yourself from LeBron James.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this series would probably be a push without Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming, J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver, and, you name the Cavs role player who has played terribly. There's been a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was part of it, I think. There's about a 19-point swing when LeBron James has gone to the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a plus 7-something when he's on the floor, and they are negative 12-point-something. When he goes to the bench, it's like you just can't live with that.
It's funny. I saw Rachel Nichols. She was on the Late Night Sports Center with SVP last night, and she was just talking about Durant's game and him hitting the shot and all that. And it was interesting. She said that it seems like the Warriors needed Kevin Durant more than Kevin Durant needed the Warriors.
Oh yeah,
and I, it makes total sense, but I hadn't thought about it that way. But it's like it's totally the truth. Like it totally makes sense. They needed him. They lost Game 7 last year, and they knew they needed him in order to. Otherwise, they were going to be matched up with Cleveland again if they got back to the finals, and it was probably going to be the same result. Or at the very least, they were probably going to get pushed to 7 games again. And Kevin Durant has been the difference, man. It's unbelievable.
And which sounds like a dumb thing to say because, duh, he's Kevin Durant. He's probably one of the best three basketball players on the planet.
Mm-hmm. You saw a quote from Luke Walton.
Yes.
That was very interesting, and it makes a lot of sense. But what was it that he said?
So I'll paraphrase because I don't have the exact source and the exact words in front of me because I'm really good at my homework. he was talking about the Warriors and just how great they are and how he doesn't foresee them going away in the next 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. He expects them to be around for a long time. He was saying how Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson are, you know, on the same page with that. And that may affect them going out and signing a superstar, the kind of moves that they make as a rebuilding team. Because mm-hmm. they look at it, they go, well, we could add the superstar now, but probably it's not going to matter.
Right.
So you wait a few, you know, if you wait out a few more years to develop your team right, and you might be able to add, you know, just wait out that storm because, you know, it just seems so futile right now to try and put together a great team, even a good team, when the Warriors just get the top just to knock you right back down. And that kind of got me to thinking, too. I wonder how this would affect a team like the Timberwolves or if Scott Layden and Tom Thibodeau are thinking similarly. Like, right. Well, there's no rush. I mean, well, what if we just take our time developing this team right and make sure, you know, we hit all the steps that we need to rather than try to take any shortcuts? I mean, it's really hard to preach patience to a fan base that's been waiting 13 years to return to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just really the timing of the league right now and just how top-heavy the Warriors make the very top of the league.
And you have to ask yourself, all right, you've got Karl Anthony Towns, you've got Andrew Wiggins, you've got Zach LaVine, you've got, you know, maybe Ricky Rubio, I don't know. Well, we can get into that a little bit too. But you have these three young guys, and you have to sort of – I don't want to say predict, but you just have to sort of look ahead and say, okay, when can we get ourselves in a position where we can pounce on the Golden State Warriors?
Right.
And it's not now. It's not next year. It's probably not the year after that. So you really have to start thinking, okay, 2020, 2021. At that point, you're looking at, you know, Cat, 5-year vet, 5 or 6-year vet, Wiggins and LaVine, 6, 7-year vet. And those guys are still like in their mid-20s.
That's
so you're still young enough.
That's right in the prime. That's when the prime really starts to, you know, reach its apex.
Yeah. There. So to me it just seems like that you just ride this out and you just keep trying to get better. You don't make any drastic, you know, obviously you can go and like this summer, you know, if you want to go and get a couple vets that aren't going to break the bank for you, go ahead. But you don't want to – I love Jimmy Butler. I love Paul George. Not that Paul George was really a realistic conversation.
He's also
anyway,
not a free agent, but
right.
Yeah, anyway.
But, you know, I love those guys, but I don't want to make a trade for those guys right now because it's not going to – it'll get you to the playoffs, but guess what? You're an 8 seed, and guess who you're playing in the first round?
You're getting the Warriors. And
you're getting the Warriors.
And you're going fishing in 4 games.
Yeah. So, I know the, you know, and the, who knows, the Jimmy Butler stuff might pop up again this summer. Who knows? Somebody's going to, feel like somebody's going to leak some sort of bunk rumor or whatever. I don't know. But I love him. I love Jimmy Butler as a player. He's one of my favorite players in the league, but I just don't. It's not enough. And you're looking at, you know, we had James Hollis on a couple of weeks ago. If the Celtics traded for Jimmy Butler, that's a 53-win team that was the number one seed in the East. If they traded for Jimmy Butler or Paul George, it might be good enough to beat Cleveland. Maybe.
I was going to say to what, push them to 6 or 7?
Yeah, but they're not beating Golden State.
No.
They're not beating Golden State. So, I don't know.
And that's what just sucks about this right now is that they're just so inevitable.
Yeah.
We've seen so many great teams in the past. Like, I mean, just off the top of my head in my lifetime, the Jordan Bulls,
mm-hmm.
that dynasty. I mean, the Spurs, the early 2000s Lakers. where they were all great, and it was kind of felt like, yeah, they're probably going to get there, but they're going to have to work for it. Or the Heat, duh, how could I forget the Heat, too?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, they should probably win, but we know that they're going to have to work for it. There was going to be a challenge. I mean, because I'm all for greatness. Give me the best two teams. It's like kind of like what we said with Phil before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to see Pacers-Grizzlies or some other weird combo in the finals. I want to see the two best teams with as much talent as possible going for it, slugging it out for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want after a long regular season. And now it's just the Cavaliers have the greatest basketball player on earth, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most interesting thing. Like when people talk about like Michael Jordan and LeBron James, it's like, well, like Jordan doesn't have Pippen and Rodman.
Right.
LeBron doesn't have Pippen and Rodman. It's not even the same cast. And we're seeing again just how disappointing that is. And they've been aggressive to go out there. I mean, when they added Kyle Korver and Deron Williams, like, oh, those are solid pieces. This should make for a fun finals.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I look at what the Cavs have outside of LeBron. It's not bad. They're not. Kevin Love is not a bad player. Kyrie Irving is not a bad player. Now they could get better on defense, or they've never been strong defensive players, but they're not. This is not the Cavs 2 years ago when it's LeBron and then the next best guy on the floor is Tristan Thompson or Matthew Dellavedova.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. What I mean? This is a good Cavs team, but
this is probably the best Cavs team talent-wise that we've seen.
Yeah.
Even if they're a little older, it's still a darn talented team.
Yeah. I want to go back to the Kawhi Leonard injury.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that, you know, I still think the Warriors win the series ultimately. But if you look at the way San Antonio, with Kawhi Leonard, was able to jump out by 23 against this team, you do kind of want to play the what if game. If Kawhi hadn't gotten hurt, if we would have seen a more competitive Western Conference final. But now it's like you look at San Antonio, it's like, okay, well, they come back next year. You've got Kawhi, but you've got LaMarcus, who's going to be a year older.
It depends how you feel about LaMarcus Aldridge, too.
Right, exactly. And you got, you know, Tony Parker. You know.
Well, they've got guys like, they're going to bring Justin Simmons back. They're going to bring Dejounte Murray, who's probably going to be a thing at some point in the future. And it's
right.
Like, well, that doesn't
but it's not,
help.
Yeah, it's like, it's not now. You know, and then you look at, you know, Utah, and Utah's good, but they got swept and by Golden State. Like, they didn't even really, like, have a chance, and I don't know, man. It's
Well, then one thing, too, like, if the Jazz lose Gordon Hayward, that's just another young team that could potentially be a threat to the Warriors. Say if, you know, heaven forbid an injury were to happen,
mm-hmm.
or a freak suspension, or let's say someone gets traded or doesn't resign, or whatever. That's just one less team out there that's potentially waiting in the wings to get into the mix. And that's disappointing to me if, you know, Hayward goes to Boston.
Right.
And it's like, you know, we're not in any better of a position competition-wise than we were before.
Hey, this is Derek Wetmore, co-host of the Touch 'Em All podcast. Don't look now, but the Twins are good again. Each week on the Touch 'Em All podcast, Phil Mackey and I talk about the Twins from a bit of a stats nerd's perspective. We talk about the news from the team, but we also bring our own opinion and analysis. It does get a little nerdy sometimes, and the jokes are mostly all bad. But if you like the Twins, you should check out the podcast. It's on iTunes, 1500ESPN.com, or Podcast One. It's called Touch 'Em All, and it's a Twin-centric baseball podcast.
Now, my question for the Warriors, or about the Warriors, would be this, though. Financially, and I guess it would depend on, you know, what happens with the cap over the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, how long can they sustain this? I guess is my question.
Right.
You've got guys that are like in their prime right now. Durant's in his prime. Steph's in his prime. Draymond's probably in his prime, and if he can get better, that's even scarier. You got Klay, who's getting pretty close to his prime. If he's not there yet, he might be there already.
That'd be terrifying if he wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only question is how long can they financially sustain this? Because you've got, I mean, Steph's been on a very friendly contract the last handful of years.
And that ends after this year.
Yep. So you're going to have to pay him a pretty good chunk of money this summer.
His salary is going to get close to tripled. He's only making 12.1 this year. Oh, and that's God. A big reason why.
Yes, that's the reason why they were able to get Durant in the first place.
Well, yeah, I mean, with the coinciding cap spike, too, I mean, yep. This team just couldn't get any more fortunate than it has, which is what you need. You need good fortune to become good.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, I mean, Curry's up, Iggy's up, Jason Thompson's still on the books.
Is he really?
Yeah. Sean Livingston, I mean, David West, I don't think they'll miss David West.
No.
They lose him. JaVale McGee.
They'll bring JaVale McGee back.
I bet. I think Iggy finds a way to come back. But, I mean, Klay Thompson is under contract at a
how much good, longer?
$35 million over the next 2 years till 2019. Okay. And then he's a free agent.
Yeah.
Draymond's under contract about $16, $17, $18 million a year until 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those guys are nailed down.
Yeah.
So Durant will be likely up next year to re-up.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, and then Curry will have a new deal this summer.
Is KD gonna? Is he gonna opt out? Because he signed a 1-1, right?
Yeah.
So is he gonna opt out of next year and rework something, or is he just gonna play through next year?
I don't know. Wouldn't he have already? No, he doesn't have to opt out yet. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to see this team. You know, like if he sees how dominant it is,
right?
Together, it's hard to see him walking away from that.
No, he won't. Like, I don't think he'll leave, but I mean, if he opts out and signs a new contract.
I don't think it would be for money. I think it would be just to have long-term security and saying, yeah, this is the place I want to spend the next 4 years of my career.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, just wanting to test the waters again in 2018 when, again, the cap is probably going to dip down a little bit that summer.
Yeah, so I guess, I don't know. I just wonder how long they can financially sustain this. I mean, it seems like at least over the next 3 years they're going to be fine, but after that, you kind of wonder, okay, when Klay is up in 2 years, you know, what mm-hmm. happens with him? You know, are they going to, will they even be able to keep him? Will he want to, I mean, I would think he would probably want to stay if they keep winning, if they win titles again for the next couple of years, but I'm sure he's going to want to get paid too. So I don't know.
I think you look at it and is he going to be the one guy to take a pay cut to stick around? I mean, that's what the Warriors will probably
Ginobili
do.
And yeah.
It's going to be interesting, but I mean, you figure that there's just almost no way the Warriors just don't carry on until 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were some concerns about their depth already. I mean, because you get to Ian Clark, Kevon Looney, and Patrick McCaw pretty quickly on this Warriors team.
Yeah.
So they're not that deep. But I think we've seen that when that starting lineup is playing 40, 42 minutes a game in a playoff series, it doesn't really matter who comes off the bench behind them.
Right. And if you have so much depth in your starting five and to the point to where you can survive with – you know, they don't, during the regular season, they're not going to need KD and Steph to be on the floor at the same time all the time.
No, and they already won. So, they already did the win 73 games thing.
Right.
I don't think they need to do that again.
Right. So, I don't know, man. It's interesting. And, I mean, it's funny. I feel like I enjoyed the regular season more than I enjoyed the playoffs.
Oh, I absolutely enjoyed the regular season more. And that's the thing.
And it's not supposed to be that way.
No, and it's fine if you, the listener, have loved the finals. I'm happy for you. I want everyone to be happy. And obviously the masses show that people are still watching. But for most people, and I had this conversation with some writer friends last night, we don't want to stop caring in early April.
Right.
Like that's... We shouldn't have the most compelling portion of the season be the regular season. I think that speaks in itself to just how interesting and how much depth there is to the league right now.
Yeah.
Like this isn't when the 0-1 Lakers were steamrolling teams, you know, with the talent dearth that was left behind with Michael Jordan leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a great time for basketball.
I wonder who... Because I've kind of already accepted that the Warriors are probably going to win. I mean, obviously, they're going to win this year. They're not going to blow a 3-0 lead.
This team is probably not the first going to be the first to do that.
Right. They're probably going to win it again next year. And they may win it again the year after that.
Granted, a lot can happen, but from where it stands right now.
I guess what I'm looking for is who is going to be the Sacramento Kings. And what I mean by that is, you know, when the Lakers were going through their Shaq and Kobe three-peat, we saw at the end, sort of at the end of that run, or I guess more so the middle, in the third year of their three-peat, mm-hmm. you saw the Kings sort of emerge as that real threat to them, and they pushed them to seven games, and they got the game seven at home, and because inexplicably Peja and Vlade and all those guys couldn't hit free throws, they end up losing the game. But I wonder who is going to be that team to really push, in, I guess, in the Western Conference, to really push the Warriors.
I don't know that.
I don't know if there is one.
It's not apparent right now, and I think that's part of the frustration. My frustration with it anyway is that you mm-hmm. can't see what's coming on the horizon with the league. I mean, obviously every great team, and many people have said this, that every great team has always, you know, spawned some type of evolution to the game.
Mm-hmm.
They've always changed something, and there's always been that innovative team that comes up and figures something out that slows that team down, the rest of the league catches up, and that's just the way that it goes. But we can't see that, and it's really hard to pinpoint what that is.
Yeah.
And I think in the Western Conference, you look at it, I mean, the Rockets can be flamethrowers, but we saw that didn't go very well.
Right.
The Spurs are the Spurs, and I mean, they miss Kawhi Leonard, but maybe they have a big summer and kind of retool and reorganize what they have to become like a more formidable team.
I feel like that's what they need to do. They got to figure out, because I don't think this LaMarcus Aldridge thing is going to help them.
He's a fine enough defender, but he doesn't have that range that you need in the NBA. It's just that mid-range shot. It's not something you want to go
enough.
For so often.
Yeah.
And then Pau Gasol playing center cannot be a thing anymore.
Mm-mm. God, no.
You can't have Pau Gasol and David Lee, even if you're the Spurs. That's just going to kill you.
Yeah. They need Pau to, like, retire.
That would be fantastic for you. I mean, what do you think about the Chris Paul stuff?
I guess it makes sense from a... It would be a Spurs-like move, but I don't know if that's enough.
How much does that move the needle? Yeah.
Yeah, I you know, and I wonder, I like Chris Paul, but I wonder if his style of play, he's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if his style and his need to dominate the ball the way he does, if that's going to be beneficial to beat a team like Golden State.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it just seems like you just need to be able to, in order to beat Golden State, you need ball movement. You've got to make them work. They're a great defensive team, but you've got to make them work defensively.
You can't let them get set.
You can't let them get set.
Yeah.
You've got to keep them on their toes. You've got to make them think on that end of the floor. You need athleticism. You need quickness.
You mean a 6-foot, 32-year-old point guard doesn't scream that for you?
Yeah, so it's like I just don't. I mean, Kawhi, yeah. I mean, Kawhi gives you that, but he's one player. He's a great player, but he's one player. You need another player like Kawhi Leonard, not necessarily a small forward and not necessarily somebody exactly as good as Kawhi Leonard, but you need another young, athletic, quick type of player who, you know, I don't know if it's a point guard or if it's a big man or whatever, but you need another athlete, another skilled mm-hmm. athlete to be able to beat Golden State. And
I don't know how they find that with where they're positioned. Like, that's the tricky thing. I mean, I think even just financially, you know, maybe if they could find that, if the same way they can create room for Chris Paul, maybe they create room for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the problem is those guys usually just don't hit the open market too often. Teams usually like to hang on to those players.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It's, gosh, it sucks. It really sucks. I love the NBA, but gosh, this really sucks. And I'm trying to keep from being such a, you know, such a negative Nancy about this, but man, it you look at this thing, man, and you're kind of looking at, okay, who's going to challenge Golden State?
Manny,
and there's nothing, man.
It's like the people after a game winner told me, relax, dude, it's just one game. Relax, dude, it's just three games.
Yeah. Well, that's what I have told people, because some people were like, well, you know, the Cavs got blown out in games 1 and 2 last year. And it's like, well, the Warriors didn't have Kevin Durant. They didn't have the second best player on the planet. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you do?
And, you know, like, I mean, can you, like, even the great teams that we've seen in the last, I think, you know, go back about since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of them been this inevitable? Like, going back to the Bulls, I mean, they were challenged. I mean, you look at 95. You know, they went up 3-0 on the Sonics, but the Sonics pushed back once mm-hmm. George Karl realized that maybe Gary Payton should be guarding Michael Jordan after all.
Right.
And then 96, Bulls went up 2-0. The Jazz came back to get the next. No, I got some 96 Sonics, 97 Jazz the mm-hmm. first time. 97, the Jazz to come back to tie it up 2-2 before losing the next two.
Yep. Before the flu game.
Right.
Flu game was what, game 5, I think, that year, 97?
Yeah. Yeah. All the air quotes.
Yeah.
And I mean, great teams have always had someone. I mean, the Lakers are probably, the early 2000s Lakers probably were the only ones who weren't pushed as much, especially in the finals. But they did eventually have, like you mentioned, the Kings there.
Yeah, the Kings challenged them in 2002 in the Western Conference Finals. But, I mean, that was, even that was basically everybody's NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Was the Western Conference Finals that year, because whoever won that series was going to beat the Nets in the finals.
It's too bad Chris Webber shied away from that crunch time rebound like it was a live grenade. If he gets that, it's probably over.
Yeah. Boy, I still look back at that and just... I it was funny. I was watching highlights of that game a few weeks ago. And even watching the highlights, knowing the result, I kept thinking, like, how do the Kings not win this game?
Those teams were killers.
How do the Kings not win this game? Like, everything, they were so good, and they just had so many uncharacteristic things happen in that game 7. You know, rebounding and, you know, missing free throws. They missed a ton of free throws in that game, I remember. And Peja couldn't hit a shot to save his life. And I'm just looking at this stuff, and I'm like, how did the Kings not win this game? How did they not win this game? But, yeah, I don't know, man. It, we'll see. I'm just hoping somebody can come up and be that team in the NBA. But I just don't know if it's going to happen.
No, it just feels like
Golden State.
It's going to be something like, heaven forbid, an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Someone gets traded, or there's a contract dispute. Or there's a freak suspension that allows someone just to sneak in and win a series that they shouldn't have any business winning otherwise.
Yeah. I feel like an injury would be the most likely scenario. And even then, like, if it happens, like, if somebody beats Golden State because Steph Curry or Kevin Durant gets hurt, then, like, okay, great. We're going to see a different team come out of the West, but...
They're going to get killed by the team coming out of the East.
Yeah, or either that, or do you really, like, of course, you take it. I mean, if you're that team and you win, if that's the way you beat the Warriors, then so be it. But as a fan, I still feel a little cheated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I still feel a little cheated. If somebody, you know, even if it's like San Antonio, if they were to knock out Golden State next year because Durant got hurt or somebody... You know,
the
whatever.
Dumb thing is they'd have to lose like Thompson and Durant, or a combination of their two star fours.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So. Oh, well. Warriors will be champs.
Such is life.
Yeah, such is life. You can find the Raised by Wolves podcast on podcast1.com. You can find us on iTunes. Of course, just search Raised by Wolves. Subscribe to us and give us a friendly rating. And, of course, you can find us at 1500ESPN.com. We'll be back next week, hopefully in a little bit of a better mood. It's because probably we'll be talking more NBA offseason stuff after that. For Derek, I am Manny. Enjoy the NBA Finals, what may be left of it. Probably only one game left. And we'll talk to you next week.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.